Sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on? Did y'all hear that train coming? Did you hear the train coming? All right. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Throw a little bit of y'all. That's all that was. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? It's Friday, y'all. It's that day. It's that day. It's that day, y'all. It's Friday. The last work day of the week for some. The beginning of the Sabbath for others. And just another blessed day for all the rest of you, right? All right. Hey, man, I tell you, it's glad to be back. I'm glad to join you. I'm glad y'all joined me here today. Yes, I is. I'm glad y'all joined me because you know what? I do believe we have a very, very, very interesting show for you because it's Freedom Friday. And, of course, you know Freedom Friday. I let you bring the topic to the table. Now, of course, I know, you know, some of y'all taking a little while to get in and want to talk about some things. So I have a couple of things, you know, done, you know, get the conversation started a little bit. But other than that, that's it. Whew, messy. And I'm telling you, look, here's a little bit of what we're going to be talking about today. We have new details in the shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. Very interesting details. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that today because I'm very interested in how if what you, the caller out there, is thinking. Whew, man, I'm telling you, that bee keep buzzing around my head. I'll kill it in a minute. But you know, so there's some, that's interesting. We need to check that out. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about relationships if we have the time. Because I was sitting in a, now y'all don't judge me, I was sitting in a meeting this morning, and I started looking around at the interaction between, and you know, from everyone in the meeting, the conference room, and I'm just sitting there and I'm watching, and You know, I'm watching, I'm listening to comments being made and how they perceive, and then it hit me. You know why men and women have so many dang on problems during relationships? I think, number one, their definition of relationship is maybe completely different. So that's what we're going to talk about if we have time today. You know, what does a man consider a relationship, and what does a woman consider a relationship? So we're going to try and hit that sometime during the second hour of the show. But the first hour of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the Ferguson, Missouri shooting. Okay? So now, if you want to get being part of any of those conversations today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. And don't forget our chat room, where the conversation is always live, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And when you come in the chat room, you can come in two ways, as a guest or under a username. If you come in as a guest, you can see what everybody's putting in the chat room. That's it. But if you come in under a username, which whatever name you want to choose, or it could be from your Facebook or whatever, we don't care. As long as you keep here. you know, you have full operation in the chat room. You can interact with everyone and all the conversations that's in the chat room. All right? So that's it there. And those are the ways you can participate on the show today. Now, those who have the text number, you can go ahead and text me also. Like I said, if you want it read live on the air, tell me. All right? So, because if that's it, you know, that's... Because if you don't tell me, it pertains and is a good point. We will do it. Mm-hmm. I know. So without further ado, you know, it's that time, man. It's Friday, right? And everybody want to catch that train. Y'all heard the train coming. I know you heard it coming because I had it. It was, boy, I'm telling you, it was chugging on down the tracks. So without a doubt, we're going to go ahead and bring it on to you. It's time for your song of the day. And y'all know, being that it's Friday, hey, I got to pump it up a little bit. So here they are. Here they are, y'all. Daz Band and Party Train.
Bye.
Everybody get on board, y'all. Are you on board? Are you ready? Are you ready? Get on board that party train. Hit that party train. All right, y'all. Hey, welcome back. That was your song of the day, the Dazz Band and Party Train. All right, you on. You listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we're having a great day, man. Great day. I want to give my shout-outs to those that's rising. I got my chat room coordinator in the house, the very beautiful Antoinette. Then I have that lady that's so divine and so divine design in the house. And now I got guest 783 and guest 790. I guess they came on the same train. All right, but welcome to... Welcome, y'all. Glad you can join us today. Also, on my switchboard, I got Mr. Michigan. I see he's riding and listening today also. So I want to welcome everybody to the show. I also want to welcome everyone that's listening that I do not see, you know, and whatever devices that you're listening to. I hope you're having a great day, and you will enjoy the show. Okay, and boy, he just made the kickstart. This just showed up in the house also, y'all. So, you know, show him some love. Hey, man, what's up? All right, so that's that. You done had your song of the day. Now it's time to get this train rolling. You know what? I'm going to find me a train whistle. Oh, I got it, boy. That'll be cool. All right, anyway, let's talk about this thing down in Ferguson, Missouri. Well, today we had two very interesting pieces of information that were released. One is the officer's name, yeah, Darren Wilson. He's 28, and he is a 6-year veteran of the force. All right, so let's keep that in mind. And we have a video out now that is actually showing, supposedly, I must say supposedly now, Michael Brown being involved in a strong arm robbery, and which supposedly gave the law enforcement officer probable cause to stop him and talk to him. Now, somewhere within all that, a struggle ensued through the window of the car. And then that's where everything gets fuzzy. That's where everything gets fuzzy. Now, you know, some people, well, before I go there, you know, man, there's some interesting stuff out there. Did you know, I know some of y'all going to say, what's new about that? But did you know, that in 1970, 99% of that, 99% of that community was white. Was white. You heard me? 99% was white. Now, you fast forward all the way to 2010. Now, 29% is white, 67% is black, and 4% is other. But you want to know what? 94% of the police department is white. What you think about that? Isn't that interesting? I don't know why. I just thought it was quite interesting. That's why I brought it up. But look, also, you know, that just goes to show how things change. You know, how things change. The more they change, the more they stay the same. Because, you know, I'm still stuck on, I was looking at the videos of everything. And to see the dogs, the police dogs, the rubber bullets, the tear gas, oh my goodness, smoke grenades and militarized MRADs and bullet vests, helmets, goggles. Man, you would really think you were back in them. You really think you're back in the 60s. If you really stop and look at that, that is just, huh, you know, whatever. Okay. And also, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame. Now, the main question is, why has the police department waited 6 days to put this information out? Well, in the case of the police officer's name, that's simple. They were given him a chance to get out of town or go somewhere else. Can you blame them for that? I don't. Because, you know, as soon as they find out who you are, they're at your front door. So that's what it is. Now, someone say, well, maybe it gave him time to give them a story, to twist this thing around on Michael Brown. Well, maybe. But you have to understand, this man lives 25 miles away from that area right there. 25 miles. So his neighborhood is just totally different. But getting back to this, so they waited 6 days. They waited 6 days to give the cop's name. Now, some are saying, why didn't they come up with this video the day of or even the next day? You know, and I'm be honest with you. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to just put stuff out there to go back and have it blow up in your face because, you know, a lot of individuals have done that. And so you want to verify. Now, does it seem a little suspicious? Maybe. You know, maybe it does. Does this, and one individual they were interviewing said it looked like they photoshopped it. Well, maybe. But the thing about it was, we never saw the clothes he was laying in the street in. Now, we know whoever was in the picture had some khaki shorts, white shirt, some flip flops, a St. Louis cap turned to the side. Yeah, we know that. But what was Michael Brown wearing? And this individual is huge in the video. I mean, this is not no little guy. And from what the pictures, and see, here's another little ploy that gets everybody up and about. You know, if you notice, they're showing nothing but positive pictures of Michael Brown. Let's be realistic. You can have the most memorable son on earth, but trust me, no child is that perfect. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's like your teenagers today. While they around you, the pants is up where they're supposed to be. But soon as they get outside, around your friends and away from you, what they do? They try and shimmy them down, you know, to the sag stage. I guess they got a sag stage. You know, and that's just teenagers. Now, for us to sit here and think that this kid was squeaky clean, you know, we're automatically deceiving ourselves. Now, let me get this right for somebody say something. I'm not saying the child was capable of burglary and all that. Well, no, I'm not going to say that because anybody is capable depending on the circumstances. But I'm not saying that he was, that he did that, okay? But you have to look at the possibility of it. Okay, you really do. And for the parents out there, I'll give you a little short clue. You know, as far as your kids sneaking out the house, I mean, walking out the house, as soon as they get down the block, they sagging or whatever, roll up on them a couple of times in front of their friends. That'll stop that. Trust me, I did it a lot of times. Wait till they leave the house, because you should know where they're going, and I go right up there and drive by. and call them all over and get them right in front of them. I don't have to worry about it now. All of them wear their pants where they're supposed to be. So that's just a little tidbit. Okay. Now, if you're scared of your child, then I don't have anything for you. Only thing I say, walk up to him and hit him in the chest. All right. Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that because somebody going to say, oh, he talking about abusing kids. Whatever. Anyway, what they say? Let me hit this
way. Welcome to the real world.
That's right. That's what I live in anyway. But back to what we was talking about. So, yes, Michael Brown, you know, this is exactly, if you look at it, if you really look at this thing, and this just came to me, it's progressing basically just as the Trayvon Martin case did. If you really look at this thing, with a little minor differences here and there, but it's the same thing. So now you have the family who have poverty pimp Sharpton on their side, and the lawyer who was Trayvon Martin's family's attorney, they're out there throwing barbs and trying to get you to trying to frame your mind to think that this kid was squeaky clean. That's right, that he was squeaky clean. Now, on the other hand, now you have the police department that has been, has more attention that they have than they ever thought they would. Now they have to go on defense. And the first thing, and if you think about it, the government does the same thing. If you catch them with their pants down, what they do? Oh, here it come. And that's what they're doing right now. You know, so what they have to do? Now, we need to release this tape right here to show that there's just a smidgen of a chance, might, to stop him. Also, what does it do? It plants that seed in everybody's mind that's watching on CNN and Fox News and all that. It plants in that mind that this kid robbed the store and had the little man up in the air. Yeah, had the man up in the air. So now you see, you know, we are a very interesting species because we visualize a whole lot, especially men, you know. So if you really think about it, you're looking at him, this big guy, and he has this little Indian, I guess he's an Indian guy, and he's frightened, and, you know, he's bumping at him. You know, then he walks out the door. Now, the individual in this picture is huge, okay? I mean, it looked like he could have played football or something because he was huge. Now, the pictures they're showing us, the family keeps putting up, and with the media, this kid looks, okay, like he looks young. I'm not going to say he looks young, but his features does not resonate huge. His facial features do not, you know, tell you that he may give you the idea that he may be that huge, that large. 6 days later, someone said they had to make sure everything was correct. Maybe. I think it was to make sure that they got the stories together. Yeah. Now, if you see this, I want you to understand just how crazy this has gotten. Now, the young man that he was walking with that ran and wasn't shot, the way he spoke the first day when this actually happened, I mean, you're like, okay, yeah, okay. And you know, brothers and sisters, y'all know what I mean about, okay, yeah. When it comes to his speech pattern and stuff, okay, yeah. But today he gave an interview, and I hate to laugh, man, but it was interesting trying to see him read and articulate the words that were placed in front of him to say. Now, everybody know, you know, we call them the popos or, you know, the police. You know, but this young man was saying officer, and yeah, yeah. Once again, we're speaking of the craziness of what is really going on. And this is just a microcosm of the larger picture of what is going on with the government and us. Did it cross your mind how all of a sudden they have an experimental vaccine for Ebola? Just in time for this, the outbreak to hit a couple of American citizens, huh? That just didn't make you wonder just a little bit? Because it made me wonder. So if you take this situation, and once again, you know, I'm when I'm wrong, I'm gonna say I'm wrong, and you know, because I was the first one to say, really, hey, this supposed to be a peaceful march and honor, and we have this looting and stuff going on. Well, I do apologize for that because, you know, I've heard, read, and been told that just like when the Black Panthers were doing their thing, you know, you have those individuals that come in and they're to start trouble. And don't think the government hasn't did that, because that's who started it with the Panthers. So, you know, it's possible that there were other individuals there from outside that community that decided, oh, this is our opportunity. So, but only thing we're going to see is the destruction of the gas station. You know, breaking in somewhere, taking tires and rims. How stereotypical. You know? We are the ones. We, you know, that is what everyone expects from us. So let's put that on television. Now, we don't care if the young man got shot. Oh, well, that happens, what, at least 2 times a week. Well, of course, we know it's more than that. But so now the picture has been painted. Number one, this is a small community, a Black community, you know, impoverished, you know, that are full of thugs and gang members and Now, here's the thing once again. If that is painted for you, and most of America already has a exception, everybody has their own idea of what the hood or the ghetto is. And once you see all that, you know, it's like, yeah, they from the hood. Look at them. They just so hood. Yeah. Or as the young people used to say, ratchet. You know? But all the while, everybody else just sitting back watching. Here's another interesting thing. If this thing does go to trial and, you know, this officer is charged, where are they going to have the trial at? Because it's already being tried in the media. Divine Design said, how come he was wearing sandals at the store and shoes when he was shot? Yeah. Yeah. I did watch it. And you know what? That's a very good point. That's a very good point. No, Kickstart Biz says, the demonization initiative is phase one for the peddling propaganda by mainstream media. The spin doctors are taking the PR angle as advocates of the Missouri Police Department. So, now you know they have propaganda. The lies, the whole situation. Now, I understand not releasing the officer's name until giving him a chance to get away from that. And if I see, and this is where I think the hunger and the greed and all that comes, you know, because I really don't think the victim's family should be involved in any of this right now. You know, why do you have them on TV making statements, well, I just want them to be peace for my son? Every day is not peaceful in that community. I'm sure some of those, have you ever seen some of those fight videos that be on YouTube where the whole ground, I'm sure some of that came from one of them may have came from there. I'm not being stereotypical, I'm just saying. I know we had a big one here where I am, and it was just like, woo. And it was all on Facebook. My point is, we need to really open our eyes. Okay, yeah, all the evidence right now says he shot that kid in cold blood. And it just coincidentally happened that they do not have the cameras in their car, as, you know, most police departments do. Okay, so so we really probably would never know. Yes, I know we have so-called eyewitnesses that. But what was the conversation going on while the so-called altercation was going on in the car? You know, I know that his little partner said the policeman told him, get on the effing curb. You know, I understand that. But once again, that's a he say type of thing. And like Trayvon Martin, you know, we I don't forget my thought. You know, we should wait for the whole truth. Oh, as in Trayvon Martin, you know, we only know one side of the story. All right, so I have Antoinette on the line waiting for me. I guess that means y'all just tired of talking me, listening to my voice and me ramble. So we're going to bring the beautiful Antoinette in the house. Hello, Antoinette. How you doing?
Hello, Mr. Talking. You know that we are not tired of hearing you talking. We love hearing you talk.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And we love the laugh.
Ah, you love to laugh. All right.
Yes, we love to laugh.
Oh, why, thank you. So I've noticed you've been putting some stuff in the chat room. So tell me what's going on. What you got for me?
Well, Anonymous hacked into the police database, so they even have the phone calls.
Uh-huh.
And in one of the phone calls that I listened to, the dispatcher, they heard about the robbery on the news.
Say what?
Yes, I believe I sent that to you.
Okay. I probably bookmarked it until later on. But yeah.
Yes.
Uh-oh. So wow. Now that really put some craziness into it.
And your phone has been breaking up. I meant to tell you that yesterday too. that there's times where it goes in and out.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not on the phone, but okay.
Oh, okay. Your mic.
Yeah, that's probably me moving back and forth more than likely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. You know, because I get like this sometimes, and then I come back, you know, and then I get like that sometimes, and then I come back.
Oh, well, that would do it.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that either. Divine Design is putting in some great stuff. I didn't even notice that within 5 minutes he shaved.
Well, you know what? Yeah. But you know, I looked at that picture they were showing, and then I looked at one of the other ones that the media is flashing and stuff. And if you can tell, he does have, you know, a little goatee down there. You know, now the question is, you know, how how old was their pictures? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's what I said. I mean, he's a big boy. He is a big boy, but he looks like a football player.
Yeah,
that's why I thought he was a football player. Cause I'm like, well, darn, he's, you know, like my daughter's boyfriend. He's tall and big like that, and he's a football player.
Right, you know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, but we haven't seen a full photograph, you know, of Michael Brown. So we really can't.
Yeah, they had one. They had one with him and his, the guy that has been speaking, his friend, where they have, like, they got their hands some kind of way. It's both of them together.
Uh-huh.
So it's like they're criminalizing, I didn't say that correctly, criminalizing the victim.
Yeah.
Just like they did with Trayvon. So now, you know. And I don't know why children do this, but they put this crazy stuff on social media, which we probably would have done at their age had that been around.
Our parents
would have
beat us down.
Stupid stuff.
Our parents would have beat us down. You know that.
Yeah, but you know what? That doesn't mean we wouldn't have done it.
That's true. I did say that earlier.
We were sneaky,
right?
Too. We were sneaky.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to sneak and hope nobody seen us, but we still did our mess, too. But,
yes,
you know, that's why I said, thank God it wasn't around when I was younger.
Oh, shucks, now.
Oh, Lord.
All right, I got Chris on the line, so let me bring him in. See what we got going on. Hello, Mr. Chris. How you doing today, brother?
Hello, Mr. Talk. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
All right. And Miss Lady, what's your name? Who's the lady on the phone? Who is this?
That's
my
Antoinette.
My name is Antoinette.
Antoinette, how you doing? Well, I got two interesting things I like to talk about that might brighten up everybody's day. In this situation, two announcements that I would like to make real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one is the Chicago Jackie Robinson team is Little League team has made it to the finals. 43 years.
Oh, wonderful.
I already knew that. Give me something else.
I watched it.
Well, here's something you might not know that's just exciting. Today is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Look, I know that,
too. Okay, thank you.
I already sent your birthday.
Right. You did. Hey.
So you're the one late, huh?
Look, now, wait a minute. Is it actually your birthday yet? Have you already been born? No, wait a minute.
August 15th. Today is my born day.
No,
I'm sorry.
What time?
On this day. Oh,
what
I have that too.
10:35 p.m. Okay,
well,
it's
not your birthday yet.
It's not official yet.
Yeah, it's not
it's
official.
Not,
no,
it's
you
not,
still got
to okay.
I do that with my children. No, Mom, it's my birthday. No, because they get mad if I don't call them at 12 o'clock, you know.
Yeah.
But your birthday isn't until.
so I got about another 8.5 more hours.
Yeah.
Before your official Earth arrival time.
Okay. of the day I was born. Okay. Boom.
But you were born
yeah.
at night. You were born at night.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was actually born at night.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you were there. I hate for somebody else to have been there.
Oh, man.
Well, I hope somebody else was there to help the mother with the delivery.
Oh, Lord. No, you are. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No. Yeah. So what's going on, man? What else you got for me today?
This case you're talking about that happened in St. Louis, you know, you know, people, Radio State, Radio Nation, Radio Land, and Mr. Talk and Ms. Internet, you know what? In another 3 to 4 years, don't be surprised this happened again. You know, Trayvon
Martin.
3 or 4 years. There was a, huh?
3 or 4 years.
Right. Probably next week, huh?
Yeah.
Look, let's be honest. Let's be honest about this. You know, there was a study done in 2005 to 2012. Now, of the 17,000 police departments or whatever we have, you know, they was using a database, and basically only 750, you know, police departments were, you know, participated, which I know is not a lot, but it's enough. And what they came mm-hmm. from between 2005 and 2012 is at least two times a week, a white officer is killing a young black teenager. Now, if you fast forward that now, we can honestly say, I mean, I have no problem saying it happens at least six times a week. Now, the only reason why this became such a big thing, because somebody posted it on social media.
Yeah.
And that's if that hadn't happened, we probably wouldn't know nothing about this one either, to be honest
yeah.
with you.
I had read an article earlier where it was stating that every 28 hours, a black person is killed by police.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you know what's so interesting? If you look at the arrest records that, you know, they're releasing now, and you go down to race, you know what it says on theirs? Non-Hispanic. That's all it has, non-Hispanic. It does, you know, it has
yeah.
white, Asian, and the other one just says non-Hispanic. And I thought that was just the most interesting thing, because why wouldn't you have African-American, black on your police report? You know, why do you have a box that just says non-Hispanic? Is that a message we being told that we're not really heeding to? That they trying to get rid of us?
Well,
you know,
see, that's the reason I always refer back to the King Alfred plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rex 84, and I said, you know, and people really need to go back and listen to what that plan says, because, you know, it's telling you right there, they're getting rid of us. That is what their plan is. I mean, you notice, through killing, and jail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're right.
So we have too many people that are in the grave or in the jail that shouldn't be in either one.
Go on and say it.
Yeah. Now, the situation.
And then you
is
brought up the current vaccination. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, we can continue on.
Well, there's an investigation going on here in Chicago, and research is heavily being done. And the closer it gets to finding out why are the killings taking place in Chicago so highly, and that this is an actual investigation, and that police brutality is low, is because they're getting closer and closer, and there's a possibility, and I'm sure it is, that the police is the one that is giving the guns and putting it in the community so they don't have to do it. I mean, this is words from the investigation on AM Station News situation.
Yeah, that's
going
happening
on
around the world.
So,
well,
I haven't even seen or heard of in the last 30 years of my, you know, of actual police brutality taking place in the streets of Chicago. I've never seen it or heard of it, but I see a lot of the street gang killing, and the police looks like they're the good guys coming in to say today, but there's an investigation taking place with the help of the police department, that the police is putting the girls out on the street.
Well, you know what? That's not such a major news blast for those of us that have been following certain things. Because if you remember correctly, you know they did that. You know, for the all them folk over there that's fighting against us now. You know, we ship weapons and everything. So of course they were doing it back in the 60s and 70s. You know, with the drugs. With the drugs. So now, you know, to help us exterminate ourselves a little faster, why not give us some weapons? You know, they're gonna shoot off each other eventually. Just keep the weapons going. Yeah. Just keep the weapons going in. And that's what is, you know, that's where we're headed. You know, but we're too stubborn. We are too stubborn to not realize it, but accept it and change the flow of what's going on. Because of that thing they call the dollar, which is basically a fiat note, but you know that is why, because everybody know if you keep pumping money into a so-called impoverished area, no one's going to think about the other side of you receiving that money, because you just happen getting that money, and so you can bling and you know whatever else y'all call it these days. But you know, that's just my opinion, of course.
Yeah, and Chris, since you're in Chicago,
yes, ma'am.
Contact Jerry Robinson of the Poor People's Campaign in Chicago.
All right, I'm gonna ask you for that one more time. I'm gonna just run across in this other room and get a pen. I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Okay.
We're not gonna give him no 10 seconds of dead air time. What's wrong with him? Shoot, I'm going to have to charge him for them 10 seconds. I don't know what's wrong with him.
And 10 has come and gone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord have mercy. But, yeah, you know, and, you know, the thing is we I'm not going to say we overlook it. We just begin to accept it more.
Because it's normal. You know, it's become normal.
Right.
So, exactly. You know, from saying that, you know, we're desensitized from it now.
And that's true. That's true. That is very true.
Because we hear it all the time, and, you know, you may get mad for a minute and, you know, react for a second if you even do that and just walk away.
Just walk away. Right.
Yeah, except for the ones that are right in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a very good point. All right, y'all, we're talking the shooting in Ferguson, Missouri right now. And if you want to be a part of the conversation, give us a call, 347-838-8622. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Because, hey, that's what this is. Let's talk. So bring it. All right? You can email me.
Well, the link that I put in of the live stream that, you know, is going on, Dick Gregory is there.
I see. I see.
And I love Dick Gregory. I love to hear him talk.
Yeah, I do. I do too. You know, but here's the thing about that. I would rather Dick kind of distance himself away from this first, because I mean, I like Dick Gregory. Don't get me wrong, because the man knowledge, and he tells it as is. But you know, that makes him seem as though he's in the realm of poverty pimps as well. You know, because, I can't say that because none of y'all know he was great except for me and Antoinette, maybe.
Was he Grady?
Yeah, he was Grady.
I never thought that he was Grady.
Yep,
I thought that was somebody else.
Yeah, from Sanford and Son. Yeah, that was great.
I thought that was some. Really? Well,
yeah. So see that you'll never know it, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Even thinking back on it, I mean, I go, Lord, my father was a big
Sanford and Son.
Yeah, Sanford and Son fan. Lord, you was
Yeah, because I know all those actors on there are doing something besides Red Fox. He's doing things as far as going to acting schools and putting up businesses. But I never saw the face of Grady anywhere. Because that's makeup.
Me either.
The gray hair and stuff.
Yeah. That was all makeup.
Okay. So they were doing that even back then.
Yeah. You know, and it's amazing. You listen to him speak now, and you think about Grady, and you just have to fall down and laugh. And probably, like you said, that wasn't him.
Yeah,
that's what you would say.
but Dick Gregory, I don't really put him up with the poverty pimps. Because he goes to everything.
Oh, okay.
You know, no matter who's involved. You know, just like when the planes went down, you know, he spoke about that. The Malaysia planes.
Yeah.
You know, he spoke about that and talked about what was really going on behind the scene with it. You know, so he speaks on everything.
That's a good thing.
And I don't think he charges to come out.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a good point.
I mean, I don't. I've never heard where, you know, you had to pay him. Now, I've heard where you had to pay Sharpton before Sharpton would even show up.
And you think he's going to show up for this? More publicity
Sharpton did. Sharpton's already there.
I know.
Well, he was there.
More publicity for his show on you know what I'm talking about, that other show.
Yeah, NSBC. Never mind, shoot. Now you
NBC. Yeah, see, I got it
now.
Yeah, so why not? Yeah. And I raised this point Monday or Tuesday. How is the family going to pay this attorney? I'm sure he's not cheap, especially now since he's associated with the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah.
You know, so how is he going to pay him? And see, all those are just some dynamics that we're not even thinking about or privy to because we would never know. One thing we're being shown is the propaganda that each side wants us to see and try and sway us one way or the other. But,
well, we know how the officers' legal fees and everything's going to be taken care of.
Oh, yeah, the NRA going to help them out.
No.
What?
Well, they may. They may join on the bandwagon. But I sent it to you yesterday, Mr. Talk.
Okay. All right. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay. The Klan of Missouri is taking up collections as a reward
for
the white officer that killed this black boy.
Okay. All right.
So they're giving him a reward, you know, like they did with Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that. I was about to say, hey, there may be some NRA true members in there. So, you know.
I'm sure it probably is.
Yeah. So, you know, it's still, that's crazy, though. But it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
Let me bring Sister Ngoni in. And I know she has some juicy tidbits for us. So let me bring her in. Sister Ngoni, how are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Let me speak to Sister Antoinette and Chris in your audience. Hey there. I don't want to get off the topic, but somebody mentioned that plane, and then that's why I pushed the button, because I wanted to share what I found out about the Malaysian planes. I shared it with Mr. Talk earlier.
Yeah. And you know that is Freedom Friday. You know, y'all, I let y'all do what you want to do when it comes to topics, basically. So go right ahead. We're switching gears.
Okay, I'll be brief. I was listening to Alfred Weber and Lorraine Murray. Alfred Weber is an international war crimes tribunal judge. And a few years back, they had a tribunal in Malaysia that was sponsored by the Prime Minister of Malaysia. And they found George Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, all the neocons guilty of war crimes. So now this prime minister has been in power for 25 years. He kicked the bankers out of Malaysia and took over the resources and used them for the people. You know, that's always what will get you killed if you're the leader of a nation, if you use your resources for your people.
Yeah.
That'll make you a target. So anyway, Mr. Weber, the judge, participated in this international tribunal, which was a common law court, and he says that he believes that the two planes that went down was Flight 370 and the other one was MH17. Is that right?
I don't remember.
The second one, the one that flew over Ukraine when they hadn't let any planes fly over there for 9 months prior to that because it was a war zone and they don't allow commercial flights to fly over war zones, and all of a sudden they directed this Malaysian flight to fly over Ukraine and it was shot down, that one, the last one. So that's
okay.
Malaysian plane. Did you think it was kind of odd that he's like, oh, two Malaysian planes?
Yeah, I did think that was odd. We talked about that.
Yeah, so that's what they surmise was that was a signal because the prime minister kicked out the bankers, and George Soros' money was all up in the mix, and he didn't sell out like most of the leaders of countries do when they're approached by the economic hitman, and then if they don't go along with the program, according to the economic hitman, they'll send in the jackals. Well, this prime minister didn't go for it. He's been standing strong for 25 years, so those planes were a message to him.
Isn't that amazing?
Judge Weber.
Yeah.
That's what I have to share.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah. Well, no. I know Dick Gregory has said that Malaysia was where you can go and is where all the elite people go to gamble. It's like the gambling capital of the world.
Mm.
And there you can order a child from any age.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's what Dick Gregory has said. He was talking about it.
I'm sorry, Andrea. I also heard Morocco is another location like that, Morocco.
Yeah.
Casablanca. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gambling places.
I see. Well, I mean, let's be honest, man. That is. But that's where all the rich folk go too, right?
Yeah, that's the elite that's, gambling places.
Yeah, as they call them, the jet setters. Make you wonder.
Yeah.
Make you wonder. Because if you notice, both of these plane accidents have basically disappeared from the news, you know?
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I think that Malaysian Air has gone private. You know, that way, the public really doesn't have a reason to ask any questions because nobody owns stock in them now because it's a private company.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah,
sure
that
is.
That's very interesting. And also when you look at the people that were on those planes that went down.
Yeah. And this just wasn't, and I think me and Sister Ngoni talked about this a while ago when it first happened. These were not just ordinary people. You know, you had scientists.
Engineers.
And,
yes.
Yeah, engineers and everything on that one plane.
But you know what, Mr. Falk? That was the first plane. The second plane, right. They were on their way to an AIDS conference, and they were
biologists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How about that? And then Ebola breaks out? Oh,
yeah.
How about it?
Hey, let's not.
And
let's
Ebola
not.
is an old disease from the 1800s.
All right, go on. I'm sorry.
That was the Black Plague.
Uh-huh, right.
The 1800s. So the United States already had a patent on it.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a patent on the Ebola virus. So that's how they came up real quick with a vaccine, Mr. Talk. But, you know, of course, with every vaccine, the virus is already in there.
Yeah.
You got it, Antoinette. I was just getting ready to add that along with the same gentleman, the judge, Alfred Webry.
Oh, that died.
In 1918, when 20 million to 50 million people died from Spanish flu, it wasn't the Spanish flu that killed them, it was the vaccine.
Excuse me, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
You know, it's just amazing. But the only thing you know is all of a sudden we have this new trial vaccine that seems to be working, so we're going to send that over there to Africa and help them out. Hmm.
But what about the doctor that was working on the vaccine initially, and he died?
Yeah.
Well, that's also just like they sent the AIDS virus in smallpox vaccinations. That's how they spread it through Africa 40 years ago. So what he's saying is that we can save a lot of lives if people are informed about this history and understand that they create the problem. They said the CDC, not they, but Mr. Weber said the CDC and the WHO, the World Health Organization, are the mouthpieces for the Pentagon and those who weaponize these viruses. And they tell the lie that, you know, they used to tell that AIDS was, you know, if you get a diagnosis for AIDS, that's automatic death sentence. So they had people jumping off of buildings and everything else in Africa when that first, you know, was going around. And come to find out that on all different continents, they have a different criteria for even diagnosing AIDS, and they never did isolate the virus. Now, right, with this Ebola, they're telling that if you get it, it's 90%. You know, going to die, 90% of the people that it contracted die, and then Obama just passes an edict that if you have a fever or you know, seem to have symptoms of possibly Ebola, you can be isolated or shot, and they're talking about mandatory vaccination. So people, Mr. Weber said that colloidal silver, you can get it at any health food store. Nothing, no virus can live in your blood system if you have colloidal silver in your blood.
Mm.
He said it's not a death sentence. They want you to think it is, and he said that's the reason why they got the borders down, because they need a vector to spread it. So they have 50,000 and more already pouring in here from Guatemala. So there's their vector, you know, their pathogen, and then they can say, oh, it's spread because da 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 da. So then they go around, you know, with the mandatory vaccinations, but people won't understand that. Go get some colloidal silver.
Yeah.
You know,
and then if you don't take the mandatory vaccinations, then you can be in prison.
Well, you can be, isolated.
Into a camp, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say, like, you're really going to be in prison. Okay, you know what they're going to do with you.
Exactly, and they got guillotines. He was also talking about the fact that in Obamacare, they encoded in Obamacare, it's called legal execution. By health protection or something like that. I wrote the note, but I don't have it right in front of me right now. But anyway, they've got guillotines encoded in Obamacare that they can behead people. Now, what's that all about?
Wow.
Population control.
Population
control.
Well, yeah, population control. But
agenda 21.
Why
guillotines? I don't know. I guess so that they can still be able to use the body parts. Who knows?
Yeah.
Don't forget now, let's not play that off so lightly, you know, because harvesting body parts is a big business even now. So just imagine if they are giving people these viruses and they're dying, but, you know, some of their organs are surviving. Oh, man, that helps create
that's fresh organs right there.
Yeah.
Well, but the virus is fake. The virus is a fake. What he was saying, that the World Health Organization and the CDC are the disinformation mouthpieces for the Pentagon. Because they sent in the military into Africa on a humanitarian mission to deliver the smallpox vaccinations that had the AIDS virus in it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I see your point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You know, and that's interesting, though. It really is. It's just the things you've been told year after year from, you know, being a child all the way to your adult life. And the more you dig, you find the more you've been lied to, you know. you really begin to wonder, well, what is true and what's not true? Has my whole life been a lie? Or, you know, are my parents really my parents?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
I'm starting to see you never thought about it like that, right?
No, but Mr. Talk, your voice is bubbling quite a bit.
Yeah.
You're underwater.
Oh, I'm underwater? Okay. I'm sorry. That should be better now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just got to stay still. Don't move.
I'm sorry. I'm multitasking here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We have Michael on the line. And let's bring Michael in and see what insightful views he has for us. Michael, what's going on, man? Okay. Unmute yourself, Mike. Unmute yourself. Yeah, we got him speechless. You know, that don't usually happen.
You're breaking out. You're breaking away again.
Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm breaking away again. I don't know. I'm in one spot. I'm in one spot. I don't know if it's just Skype or Blog Talk.
Oh, you're on Skype. That's why. That's what it is. You're on Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just Skype.
Yeah, okay. All right, now that we got that straightened out.
Yeah.
Let's see, Guest 1441 says, in today's world, there is no reason to know. No reason to know what?
It's no reason not to know.
Oh, okay. It's not hard.
Anything, I
say. That's an impossibility. Okay. All right, they're talking about Michael right now. Leave Mike alone. Oh, so since we talked about the Michael Brown shooting and we talked a little bit about the aircraft, let's get. I got to play one commercial and then we come back. We're gonna talk about relationship and how does a man see a relationship compared to how does a woman see a relationship? That should be interesting, don't y'all think? So y'all get on those phones. I want to see you when I come back. All right. See you in about a minute.
Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
Y'all, hey, that's audibletrial.com/letstalk. And like she said, you get your free book if you sign up for the 30-day free trial. I signed up for it. I got me a book. And you know the good part about it? If I really wanted to listen to it during the show, I could. You know, just have it in one ear. So it's good. And I'm going to tell you, the book I got was on the Constitution. You know, I did. I figure if I listen to it long enough, I know it by heart, right? and so I can tell you what's not right in it. But anyway, so that's audibletrial.com/Mr. Talk. /Let's Talk. And y'all go and give it a try. It's not as bad as you think it is, all right? At least you get a free book. If nothing else, you get a free audio book. Hey, a book you always wanted. You can get it free now. Hey, there you go. All right. Some of you need a dictionary. Go on and get the dictionary. Okay. All right. I'm going to leave that alone. All right. We back. We are back. Oh, man. I tell you. I'm sorry. I had to put that in for some unknown reason. Michael, are you there? Are you with us? Okay. I thought we had him. All right. So, anyway. I'm sure he'll
okay.
be here. Okay. Now, here it is. I'm going to ask you ladies first. Since y'all are older, ladies,
You better watch yourself, Mr. Tom.
I'm telling you.
You better watch yourself.
Now, wait a minute, Nancy, because I was saying I'm an older gentleman also. So,
don't
you
care.
Know. See?
No, see, when you say older now, I'm thinking, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s.
No.
That's older.
No.
That's right. I got life in me, honey.
Oh, y'all going to jump on me now? No,
yeah,
I was
no
way.
You can be older, but I mean, I'm not in
was,
my 70s,
I was no,
80s, and
look,
90s.
Look, I was nowhere near those numbers.
Well, see, when
well,
you
yeah.
say older, that's what I think about now.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
older.
Say that old.
Oh, okay.
Say that old. He's in 90s, Mr. Talk.
Oh, okay.
Basically, what they're saying is it still percolates a little bit, you know. They're not that old.
Michael.
Oh,
hello.
Now he wants to say something.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right. Yeah. How you doing, Michael?
All right, Mike, before we go on, move on, is there anything you wanted to add about any of the topics we discussed already? The shooting in Ferguson or the planes going down, Malaysia planes going down?
I haven't been abreast, but no, you can go on to your next topic. I really didn't hear what you guys were saying, but go ahead, Mr. Talk.
Oh, well, thank you, Michael, and I do appreciate that. All right, but Michael, I think this is one that where you can really chime in. The question today in the relationship part of the show is, what is a woman's definition of relationship and what is a man's definition of relationship? So, being that I have two women and a man on the line, I go with, who wants to go first?
Well, since nobody said anything, I will, because I don't think, you know, there's one definition of a relationship. Many different definitions of relationships depending on the people in the relationship or how they see, you know, what relationships involve. There's open relationships. There's all different kinds of relationships. There's, you know, monogamous relationships. There's marriage. There's people that don't want to get married. There's all, just all different kinds. So I that's all I have to contribute.
Okay, all right. I see that. Interesting. So there's one for, you know, there's different thought process for what a, relationship is. Michael, now you usually have some very, very interesting points. So what do you think of, what is your definition of a relationship?
Well, surprisingly, I mean, what Ms. Nagani was right. I think it can be defined, and people can, domestically, when we talk about men and women sleeping together, having kids together, that can be a personal thing to each his own when we're looking at that. But I think that we can define what a relationship is between people who have an understanding amongst each other. Whether it's communication or non-communication, whether it's trying to avoid that person or wanting to be with that person. But when you're talking about man and woman relationship, is difference is I mean, because you have some men say, I don't believe in the traditional marriage, going downtown, being a certificate. I can believe we can still be married, but, you know, I can live with her for 20 years and, you know, we don't have to do certain things like that. And some women will go ahead and live like that. To me, I may say, hold on, I may have a problem with that. So to each his own. So you have to find somebody who definitely has a sense of what you believe in and a sense of how to deal with each other and how the attitude, each attitude is going to be played out in a relationship. And this is all, and it's all about attitudes. But I know that the traditional way of how we think and how it should be structured hasn't worked. You can look at the divorce rate. I mean, there's billions of people who have been in a relationship and thought it was going to work and, you know, they had to move on, whether they had kids with them or not. So it's common for people to break up. That's a common thing. That's a normal thing. And I just want to say this and I'll be quiet. So sometimes me going forward, You have to question some of the things that you've been raised on. You have to question some things, how you think and how you, the roles, because there's a lot of struggling, especially in the black community when our women, or I mean, this is our community anyway, when women can make their own money, they can make their own finances, and this is society. You're dealing with a modern woman. You're not dealing with a traditional woman. So, and then, you know, so there's a battle between tradition and modern man and woman. So, but you just got to, you know, try to find a woman or a man who, you know, just sees things and has the right attitude about a relationship that you do. It has to be equal. So, teach his own. Just be honest with each other.
Now, see, that's a very interesting point, Michael. That I mean, you have brought forth some very, very interesting points. Now, my question is, though, you say you just have to find someone that, you know, you get along with and see things as you see. The question is, does that mean you have to have the same definition or outlook of what a relationship is? Or is that just part of being committed to each other and that what you work on the definition of relationship later on in whatever, you know, type of relationship you're in, you know?
Right. I mean, playing with definitions and trying to put a line and say this is this and this is that, if you're not, if a couple is not having sex 5 days a week, they're not happy. No, some people, a couple can be very happy and have sex one day a week. It all depends on that couple, how they define that marriage, how you define the man is to each his own. Me personally, when you define what a strong man is and when you define, it's going to be what a strong woman is also. You're going to use the same words, but she's going to play her role in a different way. You're going to describe the same words. So, I mean, these definitions and playing games and all this, people write books and make money out of it. At the end of the day, it's how, at the end of the day, no matter what religious background you come from, it's how you treat me on a daily basis. When we look in each other's face, when we have to share the bed with each other, if we have kids, how we dollar, that's what's matter, how we act. All this speech and all that stuff, it's hogwash, so... but, you know, a lot of people just have a different philosophy. You know, if a woman, you know, wants to be with, if she's with a man that doesn't believe in going downtown to get married and say, we at least have a certificate, you know, if things happen to you, it automatically goes to me and things of that nature. If she wants that, if he doesn't want that, he's not the man for you. Don't try to change.
Really, Michael?
Mr. Talk, can I interject?
Yes, well, okay.
To each his own, because you have some women who are saying, if you're not going to, some men just say, I can be married to a woman and technically I don't have to put a ring on the left hand. And I'm saying, if she's a beautiful woman, and don't be mad if a man tries to talk to your woman when she's out, because men is going to see, well, she doesn't have a ring on the finger, she may not be married. So there's things come with the territory. So find the person who you want to be with and fit to his own.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with a woman demanding a man to go downtown for a certificate.
All right, Michael. Thank you, Michael. All right. Once again, I posed a question, and it's simple. What is a woman's definition of a relationship, and what is a man's definition of a relationship? Now, right now, we have Sister Ngoni and Michael on the line, and we're having a discussion on that. And if you want to join in, come on, 347-838-8622. I had a comment in the chat room also that said, did you ever stop to even consider the possibility that the problem may not be men, it may be women, that many men are willing and able to commit to a relationship but can't find a woman worth committing to?
May I interject?
Yes, you can, Sister Ngoni, go right ahead.
You know, and you're posing the question, I don't recall you saying anything about a problem, number one. And number two, I would like to compliment Michael on his thought process, because I think he's on the right track. It's about honesty. It's about finding someone that you have something in common with, someone who is being honest about who they are and what they're about, so you know who you're dealing with. And then, you know, the two people treat each other right, and there you go. Like Michael said, it's not really complex. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't hear you say anything about a problem, did you, Mr. Talk? About who's wrong and who's right, whether it's a man's fault or a woman's fault. I didn't hear you bring that in at all, did you?
No, my hands are up. Don't shoot.
Pardon? You're bubbling again.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You see where that mind went, Ms. Nagoni? You see where that mind went, starting trouble, pointing fingers at sides? Come on.
Yeah.
You see how they do? This is what social media does. This is what they're talking about, pointing the finger of a woman. Listen. I'm sorry, Mr. Top. Louis, I don't want to cut you off.
No, I'm saying I didn't point my fingers at anyone, but I see what you're saying. You're talking about the comment in the chat room.
Yeah, exactly. So the discussion was about defining relationships, not about who's wrong and who's right and whether men are wrong or men are right. Of course, there's some women that are wrong and there's some men that are wrong. So, hey, we're all, you know, nobody's perfect that I know of, or you probably wouldn't be in the third dimension.
Exactly. How about that? I'm the perfect me. How about
Let's see. See, Daddy said this is about a higher calling. Couples that pray together each day and attend church together each week get divorced 1 in 39,000 times. Well, that's great if you know, if that's the understanding y'all have. But if you find her in the club, you know, y'all want to be in a relationship, and she hasn't, you know, that's some extra work you have to put in. That's something.
Well, that is wow.
Oh, go ahead.
I would like to challenge that concept. He may be talking about 1 in 39. Listen, the divorce rate in churches is just like people who don't go to church. It's high. It's over 50%, sir. I don't know what you're talking about. And if you look, there's many people who have that's in church that had been divorced. That has been divorced in the past. They got a divorce record, so to each his own. I mean, we all go through problems and issues. I mean, if you can be with somebody, at the age of, in high school and marry your high school sweetheart and you guys die together, that's fine. But sometimes it's not like that, in most cases. You don't marry the person that you first had sex with, but it is what it is. We just have to have that understanding. And that balance.
And like you said, Michael, most of all, it's about being honest. It's about being honest about who you are and what you are.
We all know that. We all know that it's not the case all the time, for sure. But I have to agree with you, Michael, on that, the honesty part. But it's still begs the question, what is each definition? I have someone else online, so let me bring them in here real quick. Let's see, 170, welcome to the show. What do you have for me?
Hi, Mr. Talk, it's Vicky.
Hi, Vicky. How are you?
You can't do my accent. Just give it a rest.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Mike. Hi, sister and Gona. Hi, Antoinette. Just a quick one. I just want to respond to the guy and the person in the chat room about this whole, let's put, inverted commas around this good woman thing that I keep hearing floating around BTR and social media in general. Hobags, don't be looking for a good woman when you're done, finished with your shit, I'm going to say. Okay? Because it just comes, from what I've gathered, what I've seen, what I've listened to, the men run through everything, and then when it comes time that they want to settle down, they're looking for the Virgin Mary who's been sitting in her house for 20 years just waiting, okay? That's probably behind the Virgin Mary, okay? Because like attracts like. Water seeks its own level, okay? And if the good woman who really was just handling her business and being quiet, what would she want to do with you? That's why you can't find her, okay? If she's got any sense. What would she want to do with you with 100, 200 bodies underneath your belt? What would she want to do with you? That's all I'm going to say, and I'll rest my case. Goodbye, buddy.
Well, Vicky, thank you for your input. Mr. Talk has stepped away for just a moment and asked me to take over. So if anybody else would like to chime in, it's so good to hear your voice, Vicky.
Oh, it's nice to hear yours as well.
Yes.
No, but this is the... because I listen to a lot of different shows, and I hear this all the time, and, oh, you can't find a good woman, and but, you know, the more slutty the guys have become, the higher the list that they need for the woman that they are with, because they are so terrified of this potential that the woman that it potentially could have been like the women they were just playing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
I think
they basically have put them... Women have done so many wrong things in their quest to get to be with men, and that needs to kind of stop. But men have grabbed hold of the candy box, shaking it within an inch of its life, and still expecting the chocolate to be stuck around the sweets. It's just not going to happen.
But
right?
I would never raise my daughter or the woman that I would, you know, happen to be with in the future. I hope she's not sitting waiting for me to come and lead her. I'm quite sure she's ambitious and she has goals and dreams.
About the leading. No, this isn't talking about the leading part. This is really just talking about the moralistic part, insofar as men know the game they're running. They know what they want to. There's many women that have no clue about the man game that's going on right now. So they surreptitiously get
involved. Don't cut her off. Let her talk.
If they surreptitiously get involved in these situations, hoping that this is going to be leading to something, but because they're not communicated, they're not finding out that this is just fun for this person, but yet she's got herself in that mix. So they start to get brandished when this happens a few times. The guy then says, oh, it's now time to find the... off he goes into a search for someone that has never walked the planet with shoes, like she walks on air. And that's because they don't want anyone that has ever touched her, talked to her, and she has to be higher than high. And it's just not going to happen, because if you keep trying to sleep with every single you meet on date number one, how is that going to happen?
That's a good point.
And anyway, I had to get that out of my system. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. And I think there's a term for that. It's called the Madonna whore syndrome.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But I'm glad I got that out of my system. I feel so much better now, everybody. Sorry about that. I'll just mute myself.
Okay, Michael, you wanted to chime in.
Oh, no, I didn't. I just want to make sure, you know, just get some facts out about relationships. And
go ahead and give your facts about relationships. You have good points.
It affects me. I didn't know. Sometimes when you grow up in this world and society, and you know, you see people have these concepts that are just not true. People are raised on this. I'm quite sure
What specific concept are you thinking about at this time?
Well, this is the code, and this goes for men and women. Don't just think about men's attitude, but just look at the number. We've always pictured in our mind, men and women, says, for every one man, there's about 5, 6, 7 women in the world. That is a lie. It's not true. That's a religious thing. That's religious. That is a lie. That's not factual. I want you to go and look for all countries. Don't just be biased and look at the government. Look at the countries with themselves when they count the numbers. And even if someone quotes and says it's a quote-unquote billion people in this world, where are they getting those numbers from measurements? So you have to give some type of number, some type of significance. Look at the numbers for men. It's near neck to neck. So when you have this code in somebody, look in this country, look in all the countries, look in the African countries. Just look, go and do your research and come back to me. So
let me ask you a question.
I just want to say something. So when we had that code in our head, which was false, I'm not saying people may have done, but people may look at the world differently. Maybe if that code is not in your head, it says it's meant, maybe you may hold on to the one that you have. I don't know. Maybe that's a lot of why there's a lot of people lonely and single, because the other people that may be in relationships out there playing. There's a lot of people living by themselves and single because, you know, they can't find the right mate, because a lot of concepts, people play a lot of games out here. That's all.
Yeah. But the Michael, everybody that's single is not lonely. But I wanted to ask you the question, not opposing you. I just want to understand. Are you saying that there aren't, in fact, more women than there are men? Are you saying that's a falsity?
It's a falsity when you have the picture and visualization, and you know this, Nagani, you're older than me, that you have this saying, because a lot of us, we have these sayings and we suck it up, but it's not true, that for every one man, there's 5 or 6 different women in the world. It's more women. It's not. It's not. Look it up. It's close. It's close more to 1 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Or
okay,
one to one and a half. Not double, not triple, not even quadruple. And it's amazing. So if you look at that, that cuts that saying out. Stop saying that.
Okay, well,
so
first
we
of
start
all, my...
saying that, no, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying us or
well,
I don't think you're
saying me, Michael. I wanted to say something about, see, you're painting with a broad brush right now. I can't help but think about China. You know, in China, they were killing off girl babies, so they came to a point where they really had an imbalance between men and women in China. Now, if we're talking about relationships in the West, you know, Western culture in the United States, all I think is, you know, you need to be a little bit more specific with your statement.
I'm talking about worldwide. Listen.
Yeah,
to
I know,
me.
And that's why
numbers.
I'm having difficulty.
Look at any, look, I, no, no, listen to me. I want you to go to the any data bank. They will give you the individual countries. They will give you worldwide, and but then they will break it down to individual countries. Look at the United States. Look at African countries.
Okay,
look
I got
the,
that, Michael. But
look
see,
at the ratio, and you will not see for every one man there's 5 or 6 women. That's
I got that, Michael. But see, I think you have to take in consideration that the numbers of female or women versus men, you got to think of the age group too.
Okay, but when we define as men, even if you're talking about those children are still going to grow up as men and women, so it's going to balance out. When we define as men, you can say, let's say from 17, they give you age brackets. What I'm saying is the ratio that we had that had a code when I was growing up, I had in my code, it's a lie. It's not that proportional, no.
So you're saying that you had.
Triple.
So you're saying that somehow you got the impression or the meme that there was 5 or 6 women for every man. That's
of
what you're.
Of course.
Okay. Well, I didn't know about that meme.
And listen, hold on. Well, okay. But what I'm saying is, in this culture, in many other cultures, in the religious cultures, they have men think that for every one man, there's more women than women, about 7 different women. So this may be a reason why men may go sow their royal oats more. But when you look at the numbers, factually measurement, it's not true. That's all I'm saying.
I see your point now. I understand the point that you're making.
And that is a fact. And when I tell a man yeah. that, men, yeah, so.
All righty then.
Fact.
Thank you, Sister Ngoni, for
hosting
our minute. That's an interesting way of thinking, Michael. And, you know, I think there may be a surplus of women for men. Then again, it may be the other way around. I guess it just depends on where you are, you know, whether that is the case. But let me bring Joey in. Joe, he's been waiting patiently while I've been knocking around with this thing. So let me bring him in so we can get his opinion also. Hello, Mr.
Hey.
Joe. How you doing?
How you doing?
All right.
Okay. So talking about the numbers again. Now, I've heard this argument for years. There's more men than women, more women than men. I'd like to see a breakdown of the number of women to men that are of the applicable age. In other words, if a man is between the ages of 18 to 30, are there 5 women to every man of that particular type of statistic? So if there are, then maybe the people who are talking about relationships, you know, have something to base their speculation on. But let's say out of a country, let's say America, 305 citizens. Let's say there's 50 men, therefore there's supposed to be 250 women. Or let's say 90 times 5, 400, no, I wouldn't do it, 50, 250, 60. 60 to 300. Okay? What difference does it make unless you break down the demographics? Because you could have...
Well, you say 1 out of 5. If you say 50 to 250, that's still 1 out of 5, but that's not in America. Look at the numbers. It's not... For every one man in America, there's not 5 women. Look at the numbers.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to the point where I don't know if those particular numbers are true. And also what I'm saying is I don't even care if those numbers are true, because we have to take a look at the relevant breakdown. Because let's say there's a country where there's 300 million like us, but you got 200 senior citizens. Do they count? No. So people have to make a breakdown. And I'm getting your point, Michael, in that around the world, maybe even here in America, is that the ratio isn't 5-1. It's more like 1.5-1, something like that. So, you know.
Right, but senior citizens can live together, too. So still, I mean, it's still the breakdown. It's still the raw numbers, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the ratio that us men that you know that we're saying, even if it was 3-1, it's nowhere near. But I'm 4-1, it's nowhere near.
Yeah.
5-1 is a lie. It's
okay.
Lie.
Yeah. So what else do you talk about?
That's the code that we have in our head. But mm-hmm. No, I'm saying if men have that code and visualize the world like that, mm-hmm. and it's a falsehood, does it or and I'm
does it influence their behavior going out and dating?
Of course,
because
it's a false code.
Okay.
It's not reality.
So what else did you have on the agenda, Eric?
What you mean? It's a false what? It's a false role.
It's a false code.
I just received an email, a text, and it says, I think those numbers rolled in after the big wars. At one time, that statement was true. A lot of men died in the big wars. So maybe those numbers aren't as up to date as we would.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah. That makes sense.
Would that mean there was more men than women dead? Because he's talking about the death of the three creatures of the bed. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, people, if men do have that particular...
What is this
women,
point?
Yeah, and women, too, they say, well, you know, let's say Atlanta, because everybody always talks about how swinging city Atlanta is. Well, over in Atlanta, I know that there's a ratio of 4 women to every man, so blah, 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 blah. First off, nobody knows those numbers. You know?
Well, you know what? We're not even going to go ahead.
Okay.
Into Atlanta, because Atlanta is one of the most, I don't even know what to say about Atlanta, okay? It's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. It's different.
All right.
You know, different is just different. But anyway, wow, I don't know. It's y'all day. The day is Freedom Friday. I just come up with stuff just to come up with stuff. All right, y'all,
oh, okay.
We got 18 minutes left in the show. We will be going into overtime a little bit. So if you want to continue to hear the show live, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Or if you're already in the chat room, you can stay in the chat room. You won't be able to hear the show, but you can still type. I guess that's pretty good anyway. Yes, you can. The other things we want to talk about. I don't know, the major ones. What's on your mind, Joe? Because you usually have interesting things you think about, to talk about.
Well, I usually like to talk about, of course, politics and relationships. So breaking in on this conversation was okay.
Well, let me ask you a question, Joe, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Then, since I'm still getting anyone to give me a definite definition. In your opinion, what is a man's definition? Well, you are a man, so what is your definition of a relationship?
Of a relationship?
Yeah.
Okay. Where the man and the woman commit to each other, both of them know that they're committed to one another. Because sometimes people have these ideas where, well, I've been dating him for 3 months. Now he belongs to me. You know? No. A relationship, two people commit to one another. I am yours. You are mine. We're not seeing anybody else. Because I don't go for this open crap. We're not seeing anybody else. And hopefully... two people will be on the same level, not of finances, okay, but of values, whereby they like the idea where they can please one another and appreciate harmony and appreciate each other. Therefore, no drama, and you like each other for who you are as opposed to what you are. That's my definition of a relationship.
All right. That's not bad. But go ahead. I hear somebody taking a deep breath.
Well, I just wanted to say, Joe, and then if you die before her, is she going to have the authority to handle your affairs?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
If she's smart enough, sure. I'll trust
okay,
her.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait
Do you believe in going? Okay.
Okay. Hold on for a minute, Mike. Hold on for a minute, because I got to ask this question is for you. No, I will. But this question is for you. When you ask that question right there, so are we assuming that the relationship has progressed to the point of marriage, or are you just talking about cohabitating together?
Well, no, he defined marriage. See, what Joe said,
no, I didn't define marriage.
That's
you can
not
have
a
marriage which has that definition, but a relationship, what I defined was a relationship. It doesn't have to be marriage.
But,
I said committed to one
okay,
another.
Okay,
I didn't say marriage.
Okay, that is a marriage. Hold on, listen to me.
Oh, for listen God's sake, Mike, do you not realize
if
that if two
I'm
people
at a point,
are together and if they're committed to one another, that doesn't equate marriage. Yet at the same time, if you're married, it does have
so
that
what is
very
marriage
important
then?
Concept.
So what is marriage then, Joe? Before
when
I
you
leave,
say
it's
part of the freaking preacher or the state, I do. You are my wife. I am your husband. Did I say wife or husband? No.
No, you didn't. That's why I wanted Mike to specify.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
And that's why I brought up the property.
Mm-hmm.
I
you
agree
said affairs.
To, listen, well, affairs or property afterwards, well, and your property is going to be a part of your affairs. But listen.
Right, okay, go ahead.
I have a balance with this concept. People say I don't have to be married to go downtown. I'm saying before you go downtown, it's Joe's definition. If you want a woman or a man to be committed, you don't want them to give their body up to another person. You want to live under the same roof with them, and you want to, you
no.
may not have kids with that. Okay. Listen.
If you're going by my definition, what you're
hold
going
on, Joe.
By.
Hold on. Wait a minute,
right.
Joe. Wait
okay.
Minute.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's separate. Okay. Okay, let's go with Josie. Let's say you don't live under the same roof, but you want that woman not to see no one else. You're one and only, and you visualize being with that person. You don't visualize breaking up.
Okay.
That is a marriage. Now, when we legalize things, okay, if some, I'm not saying your situation, but I'm speaking in general, when people living together have that commitment, if something happens, another person has power to do certain things because even if you did not go downtown and you would break up and you're living together, you're arguing over property, you're still going to get another third party. You're still going to go in front of a judge. So a third party may always have to be involved when things don't work out in relationships. So that's why people are fearful and say, well, I don't want to go get a certificate or say the government or pronounce that I'm married to this country legally because the government is going to be involved. No, a third party is going to get involved in a lot of stuff in some cases. Yeah.
Well,
so
is it going to be in all cases or is it going to be in some cases?
Huh?
Is it going to be in all cases or in some cases?
In some cases.
Some cases.
But,
okay.
Okay, in some cases, but that's why you have process there because it's going to happen in some cases.
All
so,
right.
I mean, right. So because my girlfriend is not my wife, I don't visualize being with my girlfriend for a long time. We really not having a commitment. We may be feeling each other
out. So are you committed?
It's a long time.
Are you committed to her?
No, I'm not committed.
Mike, if you stay together with her at least
4 years or something.
Four or five years. You still don't consider you don't. I hear some something going on. You don't consider yourself in a relationship with her. And you Okay, go ahead. I'm gonna let you go. Go
me
ahead.
Personally, to each their own. To each your own. And see, when I talk like I have a daughter. I'm not going to be staying with a woman in the same house for 5 years and I'm loving her and we got kids together and I'm not married to her. We don't have to have a big wedding. We can go, something's going to be legally documented because it is what it is. I'm pronouncing to whatever it is. I'm going to put a ring on her finger. See, I'm not going to have her go out and don't have no ring on that left finger and if someone tries to approach her and try to meet with her, he don't see a ring on her finger. It is what it is. That's just me. You don't have
Michael.
To do that, but that commitment has to be there.
Okay. All right, Mike. See, here's the problem I have with that train of thought right there.
There shouldn't be no problem. That's the way I want to live my life. I'm not saying it's for everybody.
I'm talking now, Michael. Okay, here it is. If y'all have been together that long and you have...
You got a bad mic, Eric. You going to...
I got a bad mic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it may just be my connection. Yeah, I think it may be the connection. But basically, what I'm saying, Mike, is if y'all totally committed to each other, it shouldn't be a problem when somebody approaches her because she's already going to say, I'm good, but you can go on about your business. Oh, I'm sorry, but you don't even want them approaching her at all. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, what I'm saying is, hold on, no, listen to me. Hold on, okay.
If you're committed to each other, you don't have to worry about that because...
Listen to me, okay.
No, because your body, her body language and your body language are going to say that we're in a relationship.
No, okay, but listen, most men, I'm sorry, if you see a beautiful woman, me, most men, they're going to look at that finger and see if they might. If they have a nice ass ring on their finger, on their left finger, there is going to be a different approach. You're going to ask if they're married. If a woman does not have a ring on her finger, to me personally, there's going to be a different approach off the jump. That's just me personally. Because you're presenting, there's a way that to say, hold up, I know I'm beautiful, but look, I'm married. There is no reason for you to go in detail for that. That's what I'm saying. There's ways to propose to the world. This is how I am. I'm a married woman. Just like a man, if you want to marry a wedding ring or such things of that nature. To me, there's nothing wrong with that because you're letting people know, well, okay, that's the ring. That's a symbol. We all give signs. You said body language. That ring can be body language.
Michael, that's you say I'm you're saying. In a relationship, but you're not committed to her?
I never said that. No, I said a commitment. If I said now... Me personally, if I had a daughter and a man living, I'd say that man, come on, he's not married to me yet. Y'all living together 5 years and y'all not married, having kids.
No, that's not my question. My question to you.
That's me personally.
Yeah, because you said, because I had asked you before, are you in a relationship? You said, yeah, so you committed to her. You said, no.
No, I didn't hear you say that. No, I'm not in a relationship.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not in a relationship, no.
All right.
But I was just defining what a commitment is. If you want someone to be as exclusive, that's like you're playing much.
Wow.
I don't want you to see nobody else. That's what you would tell your wife. You know, if she would cheat on you, you would be devastated like she committed adultery to you. So it's how the couple visualize. If she visualized being with me long term, if I visualize being with her long term, it is what it is. If we're in the stage, we're just filling each other out. We don't know what we're gonna do. She shouldn't have no. All girlfriends, I totally not committed to her like that.
Okay, but you're
because we're filling each other
anybody,
out, Joe.
You're thinking that anybody who has a committed relationship. That automatically means it's a marriage, even though it's not sanctioned as a marriage.
Right, because guess what? It's a commitment. They're saying, listen, we're exclusive. I want to do it. And at that point, you see long term. I guarantee it. You don't,
right. I can see it's like a marriage, but I can't see anybody saying that just because you're in a committed relationship, it's the same thing as a marriage.
Right.
No, if you're in a committed relationship, don't you see something long-term, or do you predetermine that it's going to end? No, I'm being committed to somebody that I'm thinking it's going to
end. And you hope that it doesn't end, but it's not a marriage. Otherwise, there would be no need for people to get in front of the justice of the peace or get in front of their particular religious denomination.
Okay. No, Judge, what I'm saying, when you get to that point, there is no difference. What I'm saying is when you get to that point, In that relationship, you're serious and you're living under the same. I'm not saying you, Joe, but some people live under the same roof.
Right.
Why not? Because that person may die. They may have property. And guess what? If you're not married or have a will, family members can come and get property. There's reasons why, because that's what a third party.
Okay.
So there's reasons.
But here's my thing.
You're not married and you beef over property, who's going to undecide?
I got that.
Judge Mathis. So
I think, though, it should be, in order for clarity, a person should say it is like a marriage, not a marriage.
Yeah.
It's similar to a marriage, but that kind of relationship is not automatically a marriage. It's very, very similar to one, because when you say it's a marriage, people are thinking, how do they get married?
No. No, Joe, watch this. if two people don't get married and they buy a house together and they just don't go downtown, mm-hmm. and they live under the, and they have a commitment and they live together 10 years, have kids, they break up.
Mm-hmm.
One person wants to sell the house and the other person wants to stay in. Who's
right.
going to decide who's going to sell the house?
Well, you're right. You have to get a third party.
Exactly. So going downtown and getting married and saying, I don't want to play because the courts, that's a falsehood. That's a cop out.
I mean, there is similarities.
A lot of guys use that. It's a cop out.
There's a difference between something being 99% similar and being 100% the same.
Yeah.
No, well, the paper downtown does not hold the merge together, because what holds the merge together is what they had before they went downtown, which is that merge, which is that commitment.
Hold on for a minute. So if you use that type of thought process, Michael, then
you know why?
You can say, well, why even get married then?
What about life support, Joe? See, this is legally, and I'm saying
as long as you put it on paper and you've let your thoughts, your things be known, hey, it's there.
Again, it's 99% similar. It's not 100% the same. Otherwise,
right.
there's no line of demarcation.
Right.
You know? So you have to have, in order, well, the courts have actually determined that if you're living with somebody, you're married. I don't believe in that particular type of legality.
I do.
I don't. No. Because I don't want the law coming into my business.
No. Listen, Joe, let's say if, God forbid, you're on life support and you don't go downtown and you're married, but then your family may want to come in and they say, well, we got to go with the family because even though she's, you know, Joe's girlfriend, she's not legally married. And that's not
right. I have a paper.
Okay. But let's say before that happened.
Well, if you don't have the paper, then I would.
But your family can contest it. Which more is
your family can, yeah, well, look, legally, a lot of people can do a lot of stuff legally.
Right, right.
Okay. I like to think of things as they should be. Not the way that the law forces us to be.
Okay.
That's
but
the
Joe,
way I like it.
You're saying that you're going to write a will or a contestament and that someone is going to enforce that she has the right to make your decisions. You're still getting a third party
yes.
with the government
yeah, yeah,
to enforce
it. Yeah,
so,
right.
So you're right. It's right. So
all right, hold on for a minute.
You're always
going to
get the government in.
Hold on for a minute. You know, usually if two individuals are in a relationship long enough, the family is aware of the relationship. You know what I mean? So, and unless there's animosity among the family and that mate, you know, they automatically give that person, you know, the authority to do it. Now, I'm glad you brought this up, because the main thing I would say, if you're in a relationship and you've been there for a while, you know, just get a power of attorney done. It could be a temporary
yeah.
where you have to go on up, you know, redo it every now and then. That, you know, stating that you want in
what
case of dire emergency, your mate or whatever can make decisions for you. Because I've seen families break apart because of that same little thing right there.
Right. You know? And once again, you're dealing with the court system. Just like going down merge and getting a certificate, you're still dealing with the court system.
Man,
and the argument
is,
I don't want to go downtown because the court system and get
okay.
the government involved.
All right, so don't go downtown.
It's a contradiction. Well, no. If you make up a power of attorney, it's going to be forced by the law or lawyer.
Because things are 99% similar does not make them 100% the same. You're saying, Mike, that because if you're not married, but you have to involve the government, therefore you are married. What I think you should be saying is, if you're not married and you're involving the government, it is very similar to marriage. You can't say you are married. You can't say you're married. There's, you know, you got to do the final crossing of the I forget what I was saying.
Oh. You're married. Listen, like I said, I'm balanced. You are married to that woman, even though you don't go downtown because you're with him. But going downtown is a legalized thing.
What does that have to do with anything, Michael? Keep it above the waist.
I'm just saying,
keep it above the waist, okay?
Because of life support and someone saying this is the next of kin legally court, because we have government. It's a civil. Even in Africa, they have a certain ceremony. Listen, when people used to jump over the broom to get married, they had to do what? Do that act of jumping over the broom. I'm just saying there's rules and there's things that we can keep balanced. So someone die, their family members won't fight and kill each other.
Yeah, just because you're using the law, because you can't avoid the law. The law is the overriding principle of America. There's nothing you can do to avoid the law.
Exactly. But people are saying that they're trying to avoid the law by not going downtown and getting a certificate. And I'm just saying it has its benefits in the future. It may. That's all.
Okay.
All right, Michael, you need to go and look outside your door, see what the police doing out there. Or the ambulance.
That's me.
Never mind. Anyway, but I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, you know, I think
that is me. I'm driving, Mr. Talk.
When you have your when it comes to relationships, you know, I think even though men and women may have a different so-called quote unquote definition of it, I think somewhere along the line, you have to sit down and come together and determine just exactly what a relationship is to you two as a couple. You know, what is it? You know, and where are you going to go from there?
Yeah.
Right, but we're going to say the same old things, but we have to treat each other just. It's acting those words out. Trust, honesty, committed. It's going to be the same old things. Though, I mean, we keep on saying the same old things. We have to just act different. That's all.
Yeah, I think also when you sit down and you try to iron things out, it's also very helpful to lay out your boundaries. What is it that you cannot cross? What's the deal breaker? What are the annoyances that you bring to this particular relationship that I can't tolerate and vice versa?
We have to realize that there is going to be some of the things that may be involved in a relationship that go on that may irritate you. As we get, you know, involved, because we can give that list, and of course,
that's
Joe, we can tell them things, but as we go along, when something irritates us, we have to talk to have that conversation just right.
Of course.
You know, things happen, and then that's what we don't, because no one's perfect.
No one's. That's a good point. That is a very good point. Yeah. All right, so, okay, we done beat that one down enough. I want to go back to what I originally was talking about. That was the shooting in Ferguson.
Did you see the video?
Yeah,
did you hear
that
they released the video?
Huh?
Did you hear that they released the video?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I released it. I saw it, and you know, I heard what they said. So I'm asking you, Joe, what are your thoughts on that?
You know what? This is a brand new piece of evidence here. They were trying to depict this guy as a gentle giant. Now, if that's the guy in the video, he's not exactly a gentle giant. So he's walking down the road in the middle of traffic, right? And the cops tell him to get on the sidewalk. Well, why is somebody? It's not normal to walk down the middle of the road. So something's up there. So now he's getting into a scuffle with the police. Now the important thing to figure out is, does the cop have the right to pull a gun on somebody who's unarmed if the guy is as aggressive as the cop says?
Oh, that was going on.
Now, people will say the kid wasn't aggressive, and other people say the kid was aggressive. I want to find out what the real story is.
Hmm.
Okay, what's going on, guys?
Wait a minute, Michael. I'll explain it to you. Okay, they show a video of a robbery. Well, strong arm robbery. Mm-hmm. Of this guy, and he left. So basically, what they're pointing to is that Michael Brown fit the description of the person involved in the robbery. So when the police officer pulled up and backed up, you know, he told him to get on the sidewalk. Now, going about the sidewalk, Joe, and walking in the middle of the street, that is not so unusual, depending on where you live at. You know what
I mean?
In
the middle of the street?
Why?
Yeah,
because we cross the street.
Michael,
I don't know what's going on.
He wasn't crossing the street. Him and his boy was walking in the middle of the street. And like I say, depending on where you are, That is not such an unusual sight.
Right. What are they talking about? I mean, but you don't know if he was walking in the middle of the street to get on the sidewalk. You don't know if they were. I mean, were they walking on the yellow stripes?
Okay, hold on. Let me back up again. Let me back up again.
I haven't. Man, I've been busy. I got to update myself for the video. I don't know what's going on.
This is what's going on. They are trying to imply that he was the person who robbed this convenience store. Okay, he fit the description, which gave the officer probable cause. Just, you know, well, first he went by him and told him get on the sidewalk from what they say. All right, then he backed up. Okay, and then words were exchanged, and they say he grabbed him by the neck. He grabbed Michael Brown by the neck, and a tussle ensued, and so forth, and, you know, he ended up getting shot.
Okay, but that's wrong.
But now the police department is saying that the officer had a right to stop and check him because he fit the description of a robber, you know, a few minutes ahead of time. So
Okay, let's go back, Mr. Tong. Listen. Now, I hope the store, convenience store, has camera and videotape of that suspect.
Oh, Mike, before you go, that is what they released. That what they released now. They have released the videotapes of this robbery in progress.
And was it Michael Brown?
Okay.
You said it fits the description. Was it him?
Well, I don't know, Michael. I didn't know the man personally. Wait a minute. Because only thing I know is I saw him laying on the ground. Only thing I can tell you, the person in the video had flip-flops. Michael had tennis shoes on.
Okay. And see, it makes a good point. I cannot wait. Thank you. Now, Mr. Todd, please. He did not fit a description like that with flip-flops and shoes. You always give tennis shoe description from head to toe, right? But you gave me a scene that he – okay.
Well, I was about to say, usually during the heat of battle, nobody's paying attention to all that. Most people are trying to survive. You know what I mean?
Listen to me.
Just train for it, especially if you know you have a camera.
Okay, hold on. Mr. Talk, I've made this statement to a police officer. Listen to me. The police is there to serve and protect. There's only two reasons why a police officer should stop a person. I'm going to give you these two reasons. If the police officer sees a person doing something illegally, right, he has a private stop, or if he gets a 911 call describing a person committing crime. If it's not those two other reasons, they leave you alone. You're an American citizen, so you're harassing me. You gave me the incident, and with the camera, you said when he came back on break, he told him to get down, he came back, you said they were arguing, and the cop went and choked Michael, and then they started. If a cop argues, college white kids always argue and talk about the Constitution when they get arrested. Look at cops. When they chase a suspect down, they don't end up killed because of camera. If a suspect is running their mouth, the officer does not have a right to put his hands on them and choke them. And if he did that, if they show that camera of that officer trying to choke Michael Brown first and Michael Brown fought that officer, he had every right to. Factually, you cannot do it. Just because a person runs their mouth to the cop, that's running mouth. You cannot get mad and beat him. It's sad. You can't do it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
you can't do
unfortunately, the police vehicles in Ferguson does not have dash cam cameras, so you won't know exactly what went on inside the car. Hold on, Michael. All right, Joe, I know I asked you and you didn't get a chance to finish, so go ahead and finish what you were saying. Oh, wow, Joe must have went to make a sandwich. all right, but anyway, so, Mike, you say the police is to serve and protect, huh? Or protect and serve?
Well, no, I'm just saying in certain situations, everybody has a right to call the police if they want to cause a crime. You can have a right not to. You have a right to, okay, to do it. You have the right to sue somebody in court, or you have the right to handle it yourself, I guess, to each his own. But it's there for you to use. And if it's there to use, now see, if he's getting the wrong description, that shows his incompetence. He's not competent. And us getting the wrong description for us males is wrong. You can't do that. We're being harassed. You know?
Oh,
so
okay.
Did they release his name? What's his name?
Whose name?
The officer. They were trying to hold the officer's name.
Darren Wilson.
Okay.
And I understand why they withheld his name on that one. I do understand that. You know, that's to give him time to get his stuff together and for him to go somewhere where he'll be safe.
Well,
you know, as soon as they released his name today, it was amazing because CNN had a reporter right there at his house. So, I can
understand.
Didn't
George Zimmerman get the wrong description? He thought that Trayvon Martin was a threat to his community when Trayvon Martin was at a residence, belonged in that community. He's supposed to have been in there. He was with his father, where his father was.
Well, this kid,
so,
was
I mean,
he was there visiting his grandmother. Your point.
Right, exactly. My point is people are stopping our children when they're not doing nothing. When they're, listen, when they say perception is reality. No, your perception can be a delusion, and it can get you in trouble. And the wrong perception can, guess what? It can definitely be penalized. You can't go around people perceiving people wrong. Oh, I thought he was this person, and I went up to him, and I tried to do this, and I choked him out, but he don't have no right because I've controlled the community. No, there's many things. People call the police people. They point people out. You can see people do stuff in open air if you want. They got so many cameras around, and you're still harassing people. You got cameras to watch people, but you're still harassing. It's crazy.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm not going any further with that. Joe, are you back yet? Okay. You know, because, you know, every little city, what have you, they don't have cameras and stuff. Just depends. I'm sure not in a little town like that. But it's all right. It's all right. All right, Mike, so we're going to get up out of here today, man. You know, begin the weekend a little early. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. Oh, so we lost Michael anyway. So I guess it's just me. It's just me. And Joe, if Joe ever come back, but it's too late now. All right, y'all. So, hey, another interesting day, another interesting show. I think we covered a lot. As far as the killing in Ferguson, hey, it's not looking good for either side right now. It's really not, because there's so much conflicting information. And, you know, if you're predisposed to be on the Michael Brown's family side, or you're predisposed to be on the police department side, you just have to sit back and wait and see what the evidence drops. Like I say, it's not looking good for either one right now, because you just don't know. You just don't know. All right. Let's see. What else did we talk about? Relationships. Hey, as long as you define what a relationship is to each other, and you know exactly that you are committed to each other, I'm kind of like them. The definition really doesn't matter. But, of course, you have to be on the same page. Yes, you do. And let's see. As far as the planes and all that, let me dig a little bit deeper, and I have that show on that personally for you. Oh, all right, did you make it back?
Who, me?
Did you make it back?
Did I make it back?
Yeah, because apparently you went somewhere.
Yeah, I went to get something to eat. I'm fixing something now.
See, I told y'all he went to fix a sandwich. All right, so your last word, sir. We're going to get up out of here.
Oh, mine? Oh, I came too late to the party, so. Yeah. Everybody just have a good weekend, and I guess I'll see you on Monday, God willing, Eric.
Yes, sir. Oh, and you said God willing. Bless you, Joe.
Oh, God. Like, we're converting you
eventually. Oh, all right. Thank you. You have a good week. Right.
Have a good weekend, you and everybody else.
All right. Thank you. All right, y'all. Well, that's going to do it. Hey, I got to end it off on that, man. Joe said, God willing. And anybody knows, Joe is an atheist. So when he says stuff like that, woo, something is made. That's a good thing. All right. So, so anyway, we're going to get up out of here. Just remember, Monday is open forum again. You know, so if you think of something over the weekend you want to talk about, hey, Monday will be your day. You know, without a problem, Monday would be your day. So, remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. And also, the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you laugh at yourself, then everything is cool. All right, so that's going to do it for me, y'all. Y'all, everybody, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening this week. And I hope to see each and every one of you on Monday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Here on Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? We got to get up out of here. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.